Hello, thank you so much for joining. My name is Frank Blake, and I'm your host for this episode of Crazy Good Turns. This is a podcast about people who do great things for others, what we call Crazy Good Turns. It's a way for us to share stories about people who maybe stepped outside their comfort zone, or were moved to sacrifice to improve the lives of others, or perhaps just did simple acts of kindness that rippled out beyond them. Many of the stories and people we highlight come from listener suggestions. I hope you'll keep making those suggestions. Just go to our website, crazygoodturns.org. I think there's something very powerful for all those involved when we recognize and celebrate people who are kind to others. So now on to today's episode. Today, I'll be talking to the founders of the Shared Harvest Fund. The founders are three doctors, Nenefu Abam, Brianna DeQueer, and Joanne Moreau. They left medical school with a mountain of student debt. They looked at their situation and the situation of so many others. Student debt now approaches $1.5 trillion. That's right, $1.5 trillion. And realized one of the collateral consequences to them of this debt is that it would prevent them from doing the kinds of community and voluntary service that they would otherwise love to do. So they came up with an idea of creating a digital platform that would match people with student debt, charitable organizations with volunteer jobs that needed to be done, and funders who would underwrite relief on the student debt in exchange for the voluntary work. I hope you enjoy this interview, which also includes someone who did voluntary work in exchange for debt relief and the head of a charitable organization using the platform. What's interesting, at least to me, is that I think this is a very creative use of a digital platform. I know from a corporate perspective that a company's promotion of volunteer activity is a real positive for employees. That was certainly the case at the Home Depot. And I think increasingly companies will want to develop programs that help employees with student debt. So I think the founders here are onto something important. Beyond that, as you'll hear, I think it's amazing that three very busy doctors at the beginning of their careers would put in the time and effort required to develop something like this. That's a crazy good turn. And I think you'll love listening and learning from them. So with that, let's go to the interview. So I've given sort of a very fragmented commentary on what the platform is, but maybe if one of the three founders would just start with a quick description of what is the Shared Harvest platform and how does it work?
So this is Nenefua, and I'm founder of Shared Harvest, and along with my co-founders, we really established this platform to create, basically sprout opportunities for people to think differently about their student loan debt and the value of their time. And the way we wanted to set it up is to think about all the possibilities that you can give all your skill sets and your passion towards something that you would be doing if you didn't have to think about money. And just not use all your time, but that fraction of your free time to do just that and nurture that spirit in yourself. And in exchange or in reward for your effort to really work on nurturing that spirit, we reward you with the student loan stipend. That's literally the platform itself. So Shared Harvest Fund is about just nurturing a crop of new innovation, critical thinkers, problem solvers, or actually solving problems in our everyday community, and then building a different type of society.
That's such a great mission statement. Maybe before getting into more discussion around the platform, one of the things that so interests me about this story is each of you, each of the founders is a doctor. I'm sure you are more than busy in your normal everyday world. And so it really is a crazy good turn to step back, take an opportunity to think about what you can help others with, and found something like this. So I'm always curious about the founding story. Were the three of you sitting around a table at some point, traveling together, at school together? thinking about what broke your heart or what excited you. What is your founding story?
It's a fun story, actually. The three of us, and Brianna and Joanne and I, all three went to medical school together. We met each other at medical school. Before that, we all individually came through different paths. I grew up in a single family home. My mother was an immigrant from Ghana, and she was a hustler. She was one of 14 siblings, and she lived in a village, and she hustled away out of the village, and people saw her tenacity and literally said, you know what, you need to go to the city and make some money. So she left her whole family and moved to the city of Accra with my grandmother, and she earned a lot of money to go to school. That opened up opportunities for her and eventually allowed her to come to the U.S. with scholarships and other opportunities. And then she got to the U.S. and she hustled her way through being one of the top nurses in the VA system and setting up nursing programs. And so all along, me behind her watching this, I just, you know, there was no excuses for me. And the idea of service was just a part of who I was, because our doors were wide open. I think I had like 7 or 9 people live with us over the course of my life, thinking, are these people related to me? Are they not? We're not, you know, because she had an open door policy. If you want an education, you can come through. She would take care of us. She'd pay for your education as long as you were focused. And, you know, in our garage, we had a side gig, which was making these balls we call banku, but they're balls of corn. And I remember where we would go and get the corn grinded was in downtown. At that time, it was downtown Los Angeles. And it was a Pico district where many different immigrant populations, especially from Latin America, would go and get the base for tortillas. So we ended up befriending families because this was the regular routine. We would go on the weekend, we'd get these huge buckets of corn, we'd get them grinded, and then we'd go home and we'd start packing them into these Ziploc things, and then we start selling them for the week, you know? And so I didn't know we were, I mean, it's funny, I didn't know we were poor, but I never felt poor, you know? I always felt that I was one step away from a great idea to get out of, you know, to get what I want. You know, and so as long as education was in the focus point, and I knew I had the skills to get to where I needed to go. And moving forward, so for college, for me, that was the same thing. You know, college was hard, was challenging, but I was able to jump myself right into a network of people who were really preaching and living social responsibility. So I was sleeping in this room called the Community Programs Office with many other students who were doing grassroots work, like the WASP tutorial projects, SHAPE pipeline programs, but at the same time studying to get a degree. And that's really where I built my sense of self in terms of knowing that I can still get what I want out of life, and doesn't mean that I can't help other people get there too. At the same time, the idea of this financial, that's the time where, you know, you will walk down the street and somebody threw a credit card at you. And so this whole debt and financing and all that started coming in my face, and I didn't know. I was, you know, I was a young student and it sounded really good and, you know, sounded like free money, you know. For me, living for my mom's life, it wasn't about debt, it was about what you can do to get money. This was like, here's a credit card, sign on the dotted line. And I remember one thing that was pivotal for my life was the roof of our house caved in. And my mom struggled to figure out how to pay for that. And at that time, I told my counselor, and it's like, oh, you can get a student loan and maybe you can use that money to help your mom. And I was like, okay, that's a great idea. And so I did it. And fast forward, that loan was probably worth 3 rooftops because of the interest, and I didn't know about, you know. And my mom passed away. I really felt depressed about all this debt I carried. I felt like I brought shame to her, and I internalized that. And I think it took a little bit away from my spirit in terms of my desire to take risk and to really do the most for others, because I just felt this need to get out of debt. I think that was one, without going into my whole life story, I think that was the first time I really thought about, wow, this thing called debt has a lot of psychological consequences, and there's got to be a solution to get past this because, you know, this was debt that was going to be with me, it seemed, for the rest of my life.
And at what point did the three of you sit down and say, we're going to tackle this and start thinking about different approaches?
It came from a series of things, and Brianna, you can jump in. I think once we went to medical school together, went to residency together, and then as we became attendants, we were very close talking about our different life journeys. And one of the things that challenged me was when I was practicing medicine, I was still paying student loan debt, and then I was postponing trying to get pregnant until it became a challenge to even think about, you know, I'm getting older, I need to get pregnant. And when I did get pregnant, I had to be on maternity leave, and I remember my thoughts were like, wow, look at how much money I'm leaving on the table, instead of thinking about my health and my well-being. So that was the big strike for me. And then we, as friends, talk so often about our own personal challenges that we were just like, man, there's got to be a better way for us to help each other without, and also get back to our best selves. Would you say the same, Brianna? Was this natural conversation that started happening?
Yeah, as Nana was mentioning, just in our everyday conversation, and like you would with any other friend or colleague, you talk about some of the challenges that you have as an individual, as trying to begin your life. You're now in your mid-30s, early 30s. You're thinking about having children. You're trying to get married. You're trying to buy a home. As you may know, we all live in three of the largest and, you know, somewhat most expensive cities that there are. And this is not necessarily woe is me. We're physicians and we do okay. But we know if it's as hard as it has been for us to sort of get financial footing and understand some of the debt that we took on, not knowing the consequences of that, you know, residency relocation loan and some of these really exciting loans that they offer you that you think sound like a good idea when you're taking them out. You think about what is it like for the sort of everyday blue-collar American who can't afford to get by on sort of basic, you know, living standards. And so just like she was mentioning, I too have a young child. During my sort of development and coming up, my parents also struggled with, you know, having 10 credit cards at one time. I remember being on the phone for my dad, making phone calls to some of these credit card companies and documenting who I talked to so we can try to get out of debt and do settlements. So these are things I learned at the age of 10, 11, 12, how to conduct business and how to, you know, sort of try to stay out of debt. But, you know, when you start out with that at your basis, it becomes a part of you.
Part of this that's so interesting to me is listening to those, that background. There must have been one part of you that was saying, this is a time to hunker down. And in point of fact, already as doctors, and I think, don't some of you work in the emergency room? I mean, you already are giving back in a very meaningful way.
The odd moment for me was that it was like this series of this rolling down a hill, this boulder of problems. It comes with the assumptions that people make about professions, right? You're a doctor, you're a lawyer. One time, you know, for African Americans, the equation of doctor, lawyer, Huxtable family, you have it all, right? And that's just not true, especially for our generation and the millennial generation. You have the title, but you also carry somewhere anywhere between $100,000 to even $400,000 in debt. And when you're going to school, you have to have a keen focus in that art of medicine. So it doesn't allow you opportunities to look at other ways to finance your education. You have to be focused to be a strong and a successful physician or even to go through the journey. And no one ever talks about the things like the cost of certification, the cost of your boards, and the fact that you have 5 boards to take. And the aha moment came to me was when I was studying for yet another board exam. And I've always had this struggle. When I'm taking a test, it's probably the time that I'm the most silent. So my mind gets fused with ideas. The last time I did that, I came up with with a whole business model for a community clinic, you know. And so this time I was trying to focus and study on my exam just over a year ago. And this problem kept coming up to me. It's like, you know, this debt issue is keeping me from living my best life, from getting back to working in the community. How do I get around this? How do I help Brianna, one of my best friends, get through this really challenging stage of her life so she can get out of debt and she can focus on just being a single mom and maybe not working so hard? It came to me and I was like, whoa, this is a great idea. I need to call Brianna. I need to call Joanne. And I called Brianna. I think I called Joanne first. And Joanne said, okay, great. Focus on the test. Focus on the test.
She said, interesting idea. Fascinating. But pass your test first.
Yeah. Exactly. And there was another person who's not one of the original founders, who was a good friend of mine who's on the board. And I said, I can't get this idea out. Every time I start taking two questions, I come up with like all these solutions for how we can set this up. And she said, okay, this is what we're going to do. You're going to take 4 hours and you're going to write down all your ideas and then you're going to send it to me and then you're going to focus on this test. And then after the test, we will go back and look at those questions. So that's exactly what I did. I wrote down the whole idea of who would be involved, who are the players, how would they earn, and what was this concept that would come together. And it really was come from there's a group called SUSO. It's in West Africa, but it's actually in Caribbean culture and actually African American culture. But it's basically a money pot where people who want to save money, they put just like a small amount every month, and the pot goes from individual to individual. So eventually, over the course of the year, everybody who's in this club gets this savings and they can do other things that they want to do. But it's this community savings account for people who wouldn't otherwise be able to do it and to get us savings. And actually, it's the foundation of some of the micro lending programs that are out there. So I was thinking, how do we create this model around SUSO for student loans, you know? And so after the test, and I quickly got on the phone with Brianna, and Brianna is very practical and very bare-bone detailed. So she's like, how do you get that through this? But how are we going to get funded? And who's going to get this? And she had like 300 questions for me, you know, and then I thought, oh, she thinks this is a terrible idea. And of course, after 300 questions, she's like, I love it. She's like, let's do it. So it became this natural conversation from there. You know, it's a very interesting thing with time, where you find time when you're passionate about things. And I think it speaks a lot to what people say when you're doing something you love, you don't feel like it's work. And that's what Shared Harvest for me has become in the past year, is that no matter how many shifts I work and what I'm doing, I find the time to help build this. And it's been amazing.
Now you've got your you're all three in this. You decided to devote extra time to it. Is there anybody else? Now you referenced one other friend at the time you're taking the test. Is there anybody else that you turned to for advice that was particularly meaningful and helpful? And what was that advice?
I think first and foremost, my husband. My husband is attorney, but very supportive in a lot of things that I do, and he's just very open-minded gentleman. But one of the things I asked, because I knew how much work this was going to take and how, you know, for our own personal investment, it would be involved. And I remember he said to this, as I was explaining to him how this, you know, how this would work out and how actually this would benefit us in the long run when we think about our life's work. He said, so let me get this straight. We're going to get ourselves further in debt so we can pay for other people's debt? And I was like, and you know, I paused. And I was like, but you got to see the big picture here. And he got it. He's like, okay, I get it. Because I think for us, and I'm one of my mentors, and she doesn't even know she's a mentor of mine, is Oprah. But she lives by telling people about living with intention. And my intention was, you know, I knew that I can get a career that's going to make a lot of money. Right. And the natural course of things is keep working until you pay off your debt and then live your good life and then come back and maybe give to the world after that. You know, but that's so much life, and life is not promised to you. And, you know, you don't know when you're going to go tomorrow. So I know from the beginning, since I was 8, I've been that loving person that's always wanted to give myself to others. So why was I going to wait until I can get this student loan debt under control? Why don't I incorporate that in my intention for my life? So if I can create a way to solve the student loan debt crisis, not just for me, but for other people, I am living my truth and my full life as doing for others in the now. So if it takes 10 years, I'm not feeling now crippled after 10 years wondering what's going on in my society, in my community. I have been making an impact for the past 10 years. And I also feel very vehemently about how higher education is kind of perverted, because we really pull people to say, you know, go to college. The whole community works with you to just get you to college. And then you're in college and then you feel so alone with your story because people think you've made it, you're successful. But then you're carrying all this burden and it gets to your psyche. It clouds your judgment in what you think you can do and what you're willing to do. And I just wanted to change that for people, even if it's just by helping them see what they can do in 4 hours or 10 hours a month. You know, that's something that changes you, that brings up your spirit in a better way than you doing something that you hate for another 10 hours a month.
Brianna, Joanne, any friends or mentors you turn to in this process?
This is Joanne. I would say that a mentor that was very important for this process, just because I tend to be somebody who's more inside the box versus outside the box, actually was my mom. Because from the time that I was young, she always said, be a leader and not a follower. And so when Anefa came with this idea, it made me realize that we weren't going to get anywhere in terms of trying to have debt relief for people if we were going to do the same old things. Like, we had to actually challenge the status quo and to think outside the box. So it's something where we knew we had to do something and had to be different. What we decided to do is come together and bridge these two important foundations. So increasing volunteering, because fact that is people actually get improved health benefits by volunteering and also reducing their burden of student loan debt. So this way they can go out and live their lives. They can buy the homes that they want to buy. They can start the families that they want to start. They can travel where they'd like to go without thinking like, oh, I have to make this loan payment and I can't do it. Or where am I going to come up with the rent? Or can I pursue my passion of teaching? But no, I can't because I have to pay these student loans. So it's just changing people's mindset and people's thinking.
So what, for all three of you, what has been easier in this process than you thought it would be?
This is Brianna. I think just convincing, or not even having to convince people that this is an amazing idea. And of course, I say that a little bit subjectively, but in the sense that every time, you know, it sounds, we want to change the world with this idea, right? And so by default, when you start talking like that, people think you have these unrealistic, lofty goals. But literally everyone I talk to about Shared Harvest Fund is like, well, wait, where are the job? Where do I sign up? Are you started? Are you ready to go? Oh, yeah, that's great. Like, I mean, they are ready and people need this. And the idea that it is just innovative and there's not other things on the market right now that have this as a viable option for people to help pay down their student loans is amazing. And just the warm reception that we continue to get from our nonprofit partners, from just individuals, our debt freelancers, as we call them, when it comes to the idea has been astounding. I think continuing in that vein is where we have our drive to continue to do this despite having busy lives and schedules. It's what wakes us up in the morning. And that part has been exceptionally easy, so, and reassuring.
Maybe now is a good time to ask Stephen, since Stephen's one of your debt freelancers, how did you learn about Shared Harvest, Stephen? And maybe you'd describe your experience.
I discovered Shared Harvest through LinkedIn. It might have been a post that attracted me, and then I kind of drilled down to exactly what they do and thought it was interesting. I thought the concept was like a match made in heaven, because I love doing community work. Coming from a person who does community work at the church, I just love doing stuff that actually benefits other people and makes their lives a lot better. So that's how I discovered them. And now I'm a deaf freelancer. And it's so far has been a great experience, especially working with Global Girls. Got a chance to look at photos, tons of photos of these girls work so hard. And it's like the least I can do is create wonderful graphics and flyers for them and get things going for them. So for me, it's more than, you know, relieving my student loan debt. It kind of conquers everything for me. So it's like the reward is working with them and seeing the smiles on their faces. So great experience.
Steven, what do you do for your day job?
Currently, I'm a motion designer at Keeper Security. That's in the West Loop of Chicago.
Terrific. So this sort of fits. What you're doing for Global Girls fits very much with your skill set and sort of is related to what you do every day.
Sure. Because I do a lot of things. It's not just graphic design. I do video animation. So I have a wide range of talents. But it's just I get home from work and it's like I feel like I need to contribute more to society. And, you know, that's what happened.
Good for you. So what would you say in a average month? Would you put in 10 hours, 5 hours? How many months? How many hours in a month?
It doesn't matter to me. As long as I enjoy the work, which I always do, I really don't keep time.
And Marvinetta, how did I take it you learned of Shared Harvest because you've known the founders for a while, or did it come up some other way?
No, I met Dr. Nenefwa years ago, and she helped me take my girls to Kenya. Just over lunch, we came up with a game plan to take these girls to Kenya. It was amazing. And then we lost touch with one another. And I just thought one day, I miss Dr. Nenefwa. I need to talk to her. An hour later, kid you not, she called me, talking to me about Shared Harvest. And I was like, oh my God, I was in the store. And I just stopped cold because this is what I've been asking for. We're an 18-year-old nonprofit, but we're still emerging, I like to say. Getting staff is very, very difficult for us, has been. And what we wanted was shared workers or interns who were connected. Connections are so important for us because that's the way we build community. And when Dr. Nenefwa told me about this, luckily, I grew up in a time when you could go to college and graduate with a $1,500 debt. But that is not the time now. But when she told me about this, I know a lot of young people who've gone through Global Girls and end up with tons of debt. And I'm almost like, don't even go to college. Go to City College if you can. But that's not my place to tell them what to do. When I found out about Shared Harvest, I'm like, oh my God, my young people can benefit from it when they go to college. We can benefit from it. No brainer. Perfect situation. This has been a remarkable experience for us.
That's terrific. And do you match? Are you careful in matching the debt freelancers to the work that you have, or does that happen sort of automatically with what people volunteer for? Or how does that work?
Brianna's incredible. She came to the office, sat down, hundreds of kids running around during our summer camp. She was so focused. I'm like, how is this possible? But she did it. And we talked. She talked me through my issues. She says, okay, tell me about this. Tell me about that. She wrote down everything I said. And then she compartmentalized it and said, this is what you need. I'm like, yes, that's what I need.
Yeah. That's brilliant. So question back to the three founders is, from your personal perspective, what's the fuel that keeps you going on this and that's going to keep you going on this?
This is Brianna. I think just thinking about giving people freedom, the freedom to have control over what they decide to do with their lives. And even at an early point, as Marvinetta was saying, thinking about her wonderful girls over at Global Girls that she's curating to be these amazing individuals, just they starting school, being able to participate in a platform that Shared Harvest allows, and being able to work on the platform throughout school and graduating with not just a promissory note about how much you owe, but here is a check for $20,000 that you've earned in the last 4 years. you know, working at a nonprofit organization that you now know is a viable job option as well, right? A lot of people don't even know you can work in the nonprofit sector and actually earn a paycheck. They just think it's all volunteer work. So thinking about that 18-year-old student and the freedom that they will feel at the end of that 4 years of being in school by participating in a platform like ours, by not having to pay back that student loan, and they don't feel that I need to just get a job that can pay the bills, and this is not exactly what I want to do, and not knowing that there are other options out there that they may be more passionate about and that would be able to give back to others, which I think inherently is what most people want to do. Most people are good people. We see that every day. We see it watching the news every day. And just getting back into that spirit of giving and having the positive mental and physical health benefits that working in nonprofit sectors and volunteering allow, that's what keeps, at least for me, going every day, just that sense of freedom.
This is Joanne. I'm going to say that for me, it's very important because it's very personal to me. So as I had been sharing with Nenefua and Brianna, I used to volunteer a whole lot more regularly on a consistent basis. But then as life goes on and you get added responsibilities and work starts progressing, they start taking on more and more of your time, and then volunteering just kind of goes to the wayside. And then you start experiencing this guilt because of the fact that you're not volunteering. So then you end up giving out donations and you end up writing a check, feeling that that's going to make up for that void. But then what you realize is like that giving that money is not the same thing as like putting in that time, putting in that effort, actually interacting with people, networking with people, building relationships with people who are like-minded and not like-minded. Like that was always the interesting thing. You go to these different organizations and you meet people who are like you and people who aren't like you. And it gives you a better sense of community and an appreciation of people who are different, but having a shared passion for like making the world better and improving. And so that's something that's important to remain committed to. So no matter what, like that's going to give me the drive that I need to keep on going and keep on pursuing this.
That's so well said. Just as a interesting side note on that, we interviewed Ken Langone for Crazy Good Turns. You know Ken, if you're in Brooklyn, you know the Langone Medical Center. And he is someone who's given away hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And his commentary about Crazy Good Turns and generosity is that the generosity that matters is giving your time.
It's funny because, you know, when Oprah gave away the cars, I was like, I want to do that for a living. I just want to give away stuff, you know? And, you know, Brianna and Joanne always have to curb me and say, you know, we can't give everyone $1,000 stipend. I'm like, why not? You know? So, but it's one of the things that I learned actually listening to one of your recent podcasts was this quote, you get what you celebrate. And that's what I want to get back to. That's why this is easy, because it is a celebration of a new way of thinking about a problem. And we are burdened, and it feels dismal for so many people to think about how to get out of this student loan debt crisis. And what I love about Shared Harvest, it is celebrating the value of your effort, your hard work is what we call it. And I think for me, that's what makes me drive this further, because the hard work that I put to make this program work for so many people is exciting, it's worth the value of my time than working another shift. Even if I'm working a full-time shift schedule and I'm doing Shared Harvest in the middle of the night, that value I know is going to make a difference for my organizations like Global Girls and our deaf freelancers like Steven, to make sure that they can get these possibilities.
I hope you enjoyed hearing from Nana, Brianna, and Joanne. And I hope that you'll visit crazygoodturns.org and give suggestions on other people whom we should feature. Or even if you don't think a feature is warranted, just leave a note thanking someone for a crazy good turn. Many thanks.